From bell to bell and post to post.
We got a big battle in front of us, baby. And it's just stopped. So let's get funky like a monkey.
Working the territories on the Northwest Coast.
Who wants to walk with the liars?
You're listening to Wrestle Central.
Give me a hell yeah.
On Sportsnet 650.
You got journalism for that?
With Justin Morissette.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, it's another week of Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650. My name is Justin Morissette. Pleased to be back with you once again, bringing you the latest and greatest from the world of pro wrestling each and every week on the 650 airwaves. And have we got a packed show for you tonight? My guest this evening is a former never open weight champion in New Japan. He's a former Ring of Honor television champion. He's formerly Matanza from Lucha Underground. Jeff Cobb of Ring of Honor was in town this weekend to work a pair of shows back-to-back at the Commodore Ballroom for Ballroom Brawl 13, the latest from ECCW. And we are so blessed to have ECCW right here in our backyard. It shouldn't be lost on anybody who's a wrestling fan in Vancouver just how good you have it of late with these Ballroom Brawl shows that ECCW puts on twice a year, and I guess when it's a two-show weekend like this, three times a year these last 2 years, the talent that they have brought in that we have been able to see here in Vancouver, you know, it's amazing to think that two summers ago I watched Matt Riddle work one of his final independent dates before signing with WWE at the Commodore in July of that year, and this past August I, of course, watched him on NXT TakeOver at the formerly Air Canada Center. I guess it's Scotiabank Arena now. The big arena in downtown Toronto. That's where Matt Riddle was just 1 year later after we got to see him right here in our city work Ballroom Brawl for ECCW. There have been a number of great talents coming in from all over the indies over the years. A number of great talents who were here this weekend to work that show for ECCW, including Alex Zane and Tony Deppen from GCW, who are making their name right now on the American Indies, Bandito and Jeff Cobb from Ring of Honor. But I think the greatest thing about the local scene that you can say after a weekend like this is that the stars of the show this time around, you know, I'm sure Alex Zane made a big impression on people on Friday night. He was down in Texas working GCW the night after having worked ECCW on Saturday, but he worked this city on Friday night, and you know, so did Bandito, who put on a heck of a show, and Tony Deppen made a ton of fans out of everybody. I'm sure those guys made a big impression, but the real draws were the young talents, whether that's a Travis Williams, whether that's a Beef Boy, whether that's a Judas Icarus, whether that's an Eddie Osborne, whether that's the women that we have right here in Vancouver and across the local scene in BC, Rhea Von Slasher coming over from the island, and the Hall sisters as well, who have been making their name in Washington, but they're from right here in Vancouver to boot. You know, the women really stole the show by all accounts. That night two, six-woman TLC match with a returning Christina Von Erie, Cat Power also in that mix with Nicole Matthews. Those ladies stole the entire weekend from everybody that I've talked to, the people who went to both shows, the people that were just there on Saturday. All they could talk about was what an incredible match the ladies had for the ECCW Women's Championship. And when people are coming out of these shows talking about the local talents, whether it's the women, whether it's Judas Icarus or Beef Boy or Travis Williams, that is what it is all about. That is what's going to drive interest to local shows to keep you coming out, because a Jeff Cobb or a Bandito, they cannot be on every show here in Vancouver every month, but our local talent really is. And it was nice to see them turn some heads this weekend and really get to be kind of the focal points of these cards, despite all of the incredible talent that had come in to work this weekend for ECCW at Ballroom Brawl. And speaking of ECCW, they are also launching a monthly show at the Ellis Building on Main Street, which is going to be a great thrill, of course, if you can't make it all the way out to Sapperton Hall for their regular shows out there. Sometimes, you know, it's not the easiest thing to transit out to New West if you don't have a set of wheels to take in these shows. The Ellis Building on Main, very accessible as far as public transit goes. Just a short walk from the Main Street Science World SkyTrain station. And that's going to be a game changer, man, for ECCW. Speaking of game changer wrestling, the idea of them having a regular downtown monthly presence here in Vancouver is going to do nothing but great things for the scene. I was aware of this already. I have a friend at Phillips Brewing, and they are the title sponsor of this new monthly show, so I knew it had come together. I didn't want to get into it with Jeff Duncan on the show last week, though, because he hadn't broken the news yet. They hadn't announced it. They announced it at Ballroom Brawl this past weekend, and I'm thrilled for them. I'm thrilled for the local scene here and what that's going to mean as far as people being able to go out on a Saturday night, a Friday night, and take in live pro wrestling in this city on a monthly basis, because those Commodore nights are always a ton of fun. It's a big event because it's one of the only times that you can go see an ECCW show without leaving the downtown area these days, as a lot of their shows are, you know, at a Sapperton Hall in New West or perhaps even further away still. So it's going to be fantastic. Congratulations to the company, and I cannot wait. That gets started in March, the very first of those events. So look forward to that. Monthly wrestling right here in downtown Vancouver, just on Main Street at the Ellis Building. So that's going to be wonderful. One thing that I did touch on last week that I want to expand on now, something, of course, we got into a number of things in glowing terms on the show last week. This was not so glowing, having to talk about Tessa Blanchard and what's going on with her as the new top title holder in Impact Wrestling. Tessa is the World Heavyweight Champion in Impact, a woman winning the title, and unfortunately, her moment was kind of soiled by her own reputation. Some truths came out about Tessa Blanchard last weekend in the lead up to her winning this championship, because she put out a tweet saying that women should support each other and good things happen when that happens. Allison Kay, also known as Sienna, Allison Kay, currently the NWA Women's Champion. You can catch her on Power on YouTube every week. And a local product from right here in Vancouver, from Victoria, I should say, Chelsea Green, now in NXT, also somebody who came out with stories of Tessa being essentially racist bully, someone who had bullied her coworkers and fellow wrestlers in the locker room area and said the N-word to a black wrestler backstage to put her down as well. There were multiple witnesses to this. It was corroborated by multiple people, including the woman that Tessa said it to, but we did not have a reaction from Tessa Blanchard herself when we took to the air last week. Just her promo after she won the Impact Championship on Sunday night, where she talked about having one of the strongest minds she's ever known. A very cringe-inducing promo from Tessa. It took her nearly a full week to formulate a response to the allegations against her, and this is the statement that she put out on Thursday night. Over the last week, I have been accused of calling a fellow wrestler a racial slur. To read this allegation has been personally upsetting. To be clear, I absolutely did not use that word. That word is not in my vocabulary. That word is not in my heart. Racism is not in my heart. Yet I know many people have to deal with racism in a way I will never have to. Racism is an awful part of American history, and it is equally awful that it's still part of our society today. While I did not do what was claimed, I stand ready to use my platform to support the fight against racism however I can. So not, you know, taking accountability for her actions or trying to say that she's changed since then and realizes how wrong she was. Just a flat-out denial from Tessa Blanchard, despite the fact that that has been corroborated by more than five people at this point as something that happened in Japan during a tour over there. So very disappointing from Tessa. I have a feeling that this is a statement that was kind of forced upon her by the powers that be at Impact Wrestling. Because why would you say this if you didn't, you know? It would be better to say nothing at all than to say what she said. And Allison Kay coming out today, earlier this afternoon, to say, I said what I said, so I'd love to move on, but I just got several messages about Tessa Blanchard trying to spread lies. Unfortunately for you, I've built my 11-year reputation on being respectful instead of owning up to your mistakes. You lie, scheme, and prove you haven't changed. This is one reason people don't speak up. It's also one of the reasons I felt I needed to be the one to do so. I have a thick skin. There's no dirt on me. I have a large platform and amount of colleagues who vouch for me. I'll gladly absorb this front line of idiocy to shield my friend. That is from Allison Kay, Sienna, the current NWA Women's World Champion, responding to a text that she got that Tessa Blanchard is trying to dig up dirt on Sienna and make her look bad. She shared a text saying, blank just called me to ask for your number. She wants to talk to you. Apparently, Tessa is trying to dig up dirt on you because she was exposed. So now she's like a comic book villain who wants to get revenge. Just not a great week for the image of Tessa Blanchard or Impact Wrestling, but I guess image has never affected Impact's desire to work with anyone or altered their plans to do anything, because you look up and down the Impact roster, it is full of names who have been claimed by quote-unquote cancel culture for history of being abusive and misogynistic and so on, etc. It's a lot of bad apples that other companies don't want to work with. Tessa Blanchard, unfortunately, looking not so great at the moment, and that denial that she even did anything wrong in the first place. Did not respond to charges that she was a bully backstage, by the way. No denial on that. Just denied that she had used racial slurs or was a racist, and denied that that event ever happened. Allison Kay being the one to bring that one to light. So not a good look for her, not a good look for Impact Wrestling this week. A company that did have a fantastic week, however, is AEW. It's Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650. My name is Justin Morissette. And AEW had a fantastic week because they got their television deal renewed through 2023 by TNT. And in fact, were given the authority to create a brand new one-hour program as well. Whether that's going to end up on TNT or TBS or be part of a Turner streaming service that might be coming together right now is yet to be seen. But a big endorsement from Turner Television towards AEW and what they've done on Dynamite on a week-to-week basis over the last however many months it has been now. Look, this is a company that is barely over a year old, launched on New Year's Day 2019. Its television launched in early October. It's only been on TV for like 3 months, I guess, at this point. October, November, December, into January. Close to 3.5 months here. So I had a feeling, and a lot of people, your top wrestling journalists, whether it's a Dave Meltzer or a John Pollock, these people all talked about the fact that it's going to be some lean years in the early going. You don't launch a wrestling company and become a smash success right out of the gate. That just isn't how it works. You need to have faith in your product and your ability to grow an audience and trust that it will happen, but it will take time to do that. A lot of people looked at the kind of the way that I guess Impact and TNA initially was able to grow out of the ashes of WCW back in the early 2000s, and the arc that that company took in terms of popularity. It was expected that AEW would basically be a loss leader for upwards of the first 3 years before the company really started making money off of a touring schedule and pay-per-views and so on, etc. Within 1 year, this company is already profitable. Within 1 year, TNT just handed them a television contract valued at $175 million. They are going from producing 2 hours of television every Wednesday night for TNT to making, they're already making a web show, AEW Dark, that goes up on YouTube every Tuesday. They will be making an additional 1 hour on top of that. And the company just signed Taz as well to be an announcer for them. It's currently unclear where he's going to end up as far as part of the commentary team for AEW. Taz just signed, I believe, a 3-year deal with the company, having just left his successful CBS Sports radio show that we're hearing right here on these very airwaves in Vancouver, Sportsnet 650. Taz and the Moose for CBS Radio. Taz left that gig about a couple weeks ago now, maybe a month ago, and has already landed back in the wrestling business with AEW. Whether he's going to be the voice of this new mystery program, this 1 hour that Turner wants them to put together, and again, it's not clear where that's going to land, whether it will air on TBS or any number of Turner stations, if it will be a second night of AEW on TNT, whether it's a streaming service web-only thing, who knows? Whatever the case is, this is a huge landmark event for AEW and for wrestling television in general. MLW, Major League Wrestling, based out of Florida, has recently signed with a talent agency looking for representation to land on TV again. Look, wrestling is like live sports. It's something that people still watch live because they don't want it to be spoiled. They want the magic of not knowing the result as something is happening. It is something that still does big live numbers. And if there is an audience and appetite for non-WWE wrestling, if, you know, there's an arms race for people to get back in the wrestling game here, that is nothing but good for the entire industry. The fact that AEW can go from a complete mystery product that nobody's ever laid eyes on, no one has any idea what Dynamite is going to look like before it launches back in October, and apparently, you know, they didn't have the easiest time necessarily staking out a TV deal at that point before they landed with TNT. All the talk was, well, you know, the wrestling seems to be a shrinking thing. People are getting out of the business as opposed to getting into it. What was Global Elite or whatever Jeff Jarrett's company was? They were never able to find a home on TV. MLW has been looking, but they, who knows what's going to happen there. Impact's TV deal seemingly gets smaller and smaller and smaller and heads on to more obscure networks every single time it comes up. This was a big win for AEW. This was a big win for wrestling. And who knows where MLW or any number of products might end up if there is an appetite for this from TV producers, TV executives, to get wrestling back on the air. I think it's nothing but a good thing, and a big week for AEW, a big week for the industry at large. Of course, this should be a big week for wrestling at large because we are only 1 week away from the Royal Rumble. This should be a time where I am energized beyond belief about WWE, where I'm locked in on the road to WrestleMania. Baby, here we go. What's going to be on the card in Tampa come April? I should be dying to know these things. And yet, my mind is seemingly preoccupied by the incredible weekend that New Japan put on for us with Wrestle Kingdom 14 2 weeks ago. A big week for AEW this week. A big week for Ring of Honor as well. We'll be talking about that later on in the program after I chat with Jeff Cobb coming up on Wrestle Central here this evening. A huge week for Ring of Honor. But this is Royal Rumble time. I feel distracted from WWE programming, despite the fact that I've really enjoyed Raw, by and large, more than I have in a very long time over the last couple weeks, over the last month and a half or so, I think it's safe to say. Paul Heyman feels like he's settling into a groove as the head booker of WWE's Monday Night flagship program, and as he does so, SmackDown is petering off a little bit for me at the moment. Maybe that is why my WWE interest is waning, because I had been a SmackDown guy for a very, very long time. Much preferred it to Raw, thought it was the strongest show weekly going for a while there, even, you know, maybe not necessarily when it was going head-to-head with Dynamite, but certainly for several years before that. But, you know, I don't know. I'm hoping that next week's Rumble can hook me back in, and that is the, you know, the launch of my journey back into caring about WWE as much as I did at this time last year. If they can draw my attention back from the Indies and from Japan, we will see if they've got the card to do it. Only 7 matches slated at the moment for next Sunday's Royal Rumble. I would imagine a couple more get added probably on Raw tomorrow night. But right now we've got Bayley, the SmackDown Women's Champion, defending her title against Lacey Evans. I have enjoyed the way this feud has been built up, but I'm not really looking forward to the match, which is no disrespect to Lacey Evans. She was a burden for Becky Lynch to carry throughout most of last year in a lengthy feud that seemed like it was never going to end. Now, Bayley is stuck with that as a heel. Lacey, I do think, is better as a babyface than she was as a heel, certainly in a top role anyways, but I'm just not really feeling the sizzle on this one, and I don't think the match will deliver either. A match that just might deliver, but has kind of been an odd feud thus far. The establishment old guard, represented by Sheamus, taking on the young new hotness in Chad Gable, a.k.a. Shorty G. I just die inside every time I have to call him by that name instead of Chad Gable, but they are going to go head-to-head in a singles match that will probably be on the pre-show, if I had to guess. Roman Reigns taking on King Corbin in a Falls Count Anywhere match. Good grief, I just desperately want this feud to be over so badly. I don't care about this match. I assume Roman is going to win here just to end the feud, or maybe he loses and goes on to win the Royal Rumble later in the night. Either way, this feud has been interminable. Baron Corbin is, I just don't have words for how much I don't have time for this guy any longer. He had an abysmal 2019. My interest is just dead in him, and it will not be resuscitated, especially by dragging this awful Roman Reigns feud out any further. So, not a great card so far as we look over the matches, but I am excited for these next two. 1 year after she lost her title to her opponent that she faces again here this evening, or next Sunday, I should say, Becky Lynch gets a shot at redemption against Asuka. Becky comes into the night as your Raw Women's Champion and will defend the title against the woman who beat her for the SmackDown title last year, one of the baddest women on the planet, and that is Asuka. I love that this feud is rehabilitating really both women. It's made Asuka into a just killer destroyer, and it is acknowledging the fact that as much as 2019 should have been the year of Becky Lynch, it really wasn't, and there is work to be done on that character to get her back to the level that she was at the end of 2018. I very much have enjoyed this feud. The build has been tremendous, and the match should deliver as well, because every time these ladies have been in the ring together, it has always been good. After that, it's The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, defending the Universal Championship against his challenger, Daniel Bryan, in a strap match. Both men going to be locked together by a leather band, which I assume will be used as a weapon multiple times through the evening. I'm not in really on these Fiend matches anymore. I love the character of the Fiend, Bray Wyatt. I love everything that Bray has done as a character over the last little while. The matches as the Fiend have really been a big letdown because the character is essentially invincible. He has no weaknesses. He kicks out of every finisher like instantly. There's no drama. There's no stakes to a character like that for me. But if there's anyone who can find drama within those confines, it has to be Daniel Bryan. If there's anyone who can get a good match out of the Fiend as a character, Bryan is going to be that guy. I have low expectations for this match, but despite myself, I do think it is going to deliver the goods. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt versus Daniel Bryan, and I would imagine The Fiend will retain heading into Mania season. Beyond that, it's just the two Royal Rumble matches, a 30-woman Royal Rumble match for the Women's Championship match at WrestleMania 36, and a 30-man Royal Rumble match for a World Championship match at WrestleMania 36. Looking forward to who from NXT is going to cameo in these matches. I would imagine there will be many more cameo call-ups on the women's side of the Rumble than the men's. And in fact, Wouldn't surprise me at all to see Shayna Baszler debut on the main roster in the Women's Royal Rumble and win the whole thing to be Becky's big challenger for WrestleMania, given they didn't really touch each other in the finish of that Survivor Series match. Where the men's Royal Rumble match goes is anyone's guess. Could very well be that Roman Reigns is headed for a collision course with the Fiend Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania, and we get there by having Roman win the Men's Rumble once again. I don't know that the crowd is going to be receptive to that, though. And both belts feel like they're kind of in this weird zone of an unbeatable Bray Wyatt on SmackDown, a satellite champion unbeatable Brock Lesnar on Raw. Heck, it's possible with the push that they gave NXT at Survivor Series that an NXT roster member is going to be the one to win the Royal Rumble and challenge for the NXT title over Mania weekend, having won the title. And if that is the case, it might be my man Keith Lee. Keith Lee might be looking at a pending Rumble victory for next Sunday. I don't know if I'm... if the lack of kind of certainty that I have heading into next weekend helps or hinders my interest in it. It seems wide open in a way that the Rumble hasn't been in a good long while, but it makes me fearful that we're just heading towards another Roman Reigns coronation, and I'm not sure that the viewing audience of WWE is necessarily ready for that. I just want to know what Kevin Owens and Samoa Joe are going to end up doing. They have been the best thing going on WWE TV of late, and hopefully they get added to a match on the card outside of the Rumble itself, because that will be something to look forward to next weekend. But I finally talked about WWE on the show for the basically first time this year. We're only 20 days into 2020, and took me a while to finally get around to talking about, I don't know, just the biggest wrestling company in the world. You know, no big deal. Anyways, it is Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650. I am Justin Morissette, and don't go anywhere because I'll be right back with a great conversation with Jeff Cobb of Ring of Honor Wrestling, talking about what it's like to work with ROH these days and why he is electing to stay put for the time being. You should do the same. Stay right where you are. We'll be right back with Jeff Cobb on Wrestle Central. It's Sportsnet 650.
This is a dream come true right here. See, when I was a kid, I watched Hulk Hogan walk down the hallway and hang a sharp left straight into Madison Square Garden. And I was hooked for life. And now, come full circle, I don't even remember when that was, somewhere in the 80s. Come full circle, and I'm getting to perform, to wrestle, to throw around one of the best in the goddamn world in Will Ospreay, and come out with these two championships to the Ring of Honor Television Champion and the Never Open Weight Champion. Yes, Japan, I'll see you soon. Oh my gosh.
Pick yourself up off the mat. It's time for more Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650 with Justin Morissette.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back for more Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650. Like the man told you, my name is Justin Morissette, and it's a big show tonight. We are going to be joined momentarily by my special guest of honor from Ring of Honor Pro Wrestling, a former Ring of Honor television champion, formerly known as perhaps Matanza, you might know him, from Lucha Underground. He was, of course, Dario Cueto's monster, massive, a literal dungeon monster on Lucha Underground, in fact. A gentleman who, in fact, represented Guam at the 2004 Olympics in wrestling as well, was their flag bearer, in fact. It's Jeff Cobb from Ring of Honor. You might have seen him even wrestling for New Japan Pro Wrestling last year during the G1 as well. He's been all over the place, but has come through this way a good many times too over the last little while, and this was his first time winding up on one of the Commodore Ballroom shows for ECCW. He worked both nights of Ballroom Brawl this past weekend on Friday and Saturday, a Hoss Battle for the Ages on Friday night against our local talent Eddie Osborne, and then was part of a four-way dance for the ECCW World Championship on Saturday night, taking on Beef Boy, Judas Icarus, and Bandido in a four-way match. Judas Icarus, the local villain, the local heel from right here in Vancouver, walking away with the big belt when it was all said and done. A fabulous weekend at the Commodore Ballroom for ECCW once again. Honestly, probably two of their best shows that they've ever put on at the Commodore from top to bottom in terms of the match quality and the talent that came in from out of town to work those shows as well. I've talked to a good many wrestlers during my time doing this show over the last several months, and I've heard from multiple people locally here in Vancouver, you know, what a thrill, what an honor it is to get onto one of these Commodore Ballroom cards, to be a part of a Ballroom Brawl. It's like the ultimate honor for local wrestlers here in Vancouver. The goal that you are trying to accomplish here in the local scene is to get on a card like that. It's one of the biggest bills you can be on without, you know, being signed to WWE and coming to town to perform at Rogers Arena or the Abbotsford Center or a show of that ilk. It's kind of, you know, the top crown of the local indie scene is to be on a Ballroom Brawl. And I've heard that from many local talents in the past. I was surprised to hear it from Jeff Cobb, in fact. But we started off our conversation by talking about exactly that, what brings him back to the Pacific Northwest time and time again. Here it is, my conversation with Ring of Honor's Jeff Cobb. You're listening to Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650. Joined now by Jeff Cobb of Ring of Honor Wrestling. And Jeff, you're in for the big show for ECCW Ballroom Brawl, but it's not your first foray through this way. You've worked a couple dates, I think, for the company now. What is it about this part of, I guess, the wrestling scene that keeps you coming back?
Well, the Vancouver fans, the Vancouver companies, especially ECCW, every time I come up here, it's a great time. I love everybody up here. They're so cool. They're so nice, and they're so laid back. So I wouldn't keep coming back to a place if it wasn't like that. And on a side note, this is my first time at the Commodore. There's been multiple times I've been trying to line it up, and things just never fall into place. Or I get booked for the G1. So, but now I'm here. 2020, new year, new me.
This is your first time working the Commodore, but it probably works nicely that, of course, there's a thriving scene down in Seattle and the Washington area as well, that you can just kind of book a number of dates all in a row here and make a weekend out of it, right?
Yeah, like it's just the Pacific Northwest has just boomed in the last couple of years, as is just wrestling in general. People say indie wrestling, but no, I think wrestling in general as a whole, and it's cool. It's cool to be a part of that, and thank goodness I'm from Hawaii because I ride that wave.
You mentioned the G1. I do need to ask you about that, of course, because I'm sure, you know, as we mentioned, weekends like this where you are working a number of matches in a set number of days here, it's a bit of a different animal to be a part of that tournament, isn't it?
Yeah, the G1 is probably the most grueling thing I've done besides training for the Olympics. It's the summer in Japan. It's hot and muggy, and just the humidity was off the hook. Ridiculous. I walked 7 minutes to a laundromat, and my shirt was soaked. That was rough. I didn't want to walk back to the hotel. I sat in the laundromat because they had air conditioning. And I sat there and just washed my clothes, and I didn't move.
Do you have any standout matches or moments from being a part of that tournament this year?
Getting to wrestle Naito one-on-one, who is now the current IWGP and Intercontinental Heavyweight Champion, respectively, it's great. It was cool. Like, it was like, dude, this is the man right here. Like, he's headlined Tokyo Dome shows. He's former IWGP Heavyweight Champion. He's done it all, and to be able to have a singles match with him was great. Like, you know, people are like, oh man, like Block A is great because it's Tanahashi and Okada. I was like, and Ibushi. I was like, yeah, that's cool. But at the same time, don't sleep on the B block because, you know, those are sleeper guys who have something to prove, like Shingo Takagi was there, and Goto and Ishii, and so Jay White was there, who's former IWGP champion. I mean, there was, both blocks were stacked. Doesn't matter what pool I was in, it was going to be badass either way.
You have to work against John Moxley as well, mm-hmm. who is just kind of on a tear right now, trying to redefine himself post-WWE. That was one of the earlier matches of his Japanese run as well. What was it like to work against Big Mox?
It was cool, because learning from him, because he's been in WWE system for, gosh, I don't even know, like at least maybe 10 years, give or take. I don't know. I don't know for sure, but he's in there for a while and wrestling at a high level. To be able to learn from him how they do it over there, to try to blend that in with the Japanese style, it was cool. And he's such a cool guy, man.
You're working with Ring of Honor, but you're still doing a number of independent dates and kind of have the freedom to do what you want. I know from the outside, it looks like it's been a bit of a tumultuous time for the company, but a number of the big names have re-signed. I think even you might have signed a new deal of late. Is that? I might have the details wrong on that, but...
I have not re-signed with them, but my loyalty and heart stays with Ring of Honor. There was a point where everybody was jumping on that bandwagon to beat someone down. I think that, unfortunately, that's the mentality of the world today. And case, yeah, it's fine, whatever. But me, I am in the trenches, and I see what goes on at Ring of Honor every month. And I like what I see there. I believe in the product. I like the product. And I'm not going anywhere, unless, I don't know, WWE offers me $1 million a year, then obviously my loyalties are going to change, but there's always going to be a special place in my heart for Ring of Honor, and as long as they'll have me, I'll keep coming back.
Is part of the draw of staying the fact that you do get to continue to work dates like this and go over to Japan and work the G1 and just sort of have the freedom to still kind of feel like an independent wrestler while still being signed to a major company?
Well, it's a weird situation, but yeah, I like I said, me being there, I believe in the product, and if I didn't believe in the product, I wouldn't be there. I would go somewhere else. But because I like what they're doing, I've liked what they've done in 2019, regardless of what people say. Like, the booking committee is great, the higher ups are good. They're learning the wrestling side of it, and I think we're in good hands. And again, like I said, I wouldn't be there if I didn't believe in it. So,
is there kind of a shockwave that goes down through the rest of the roster when a guy like Marty Scurll decides to stay when he does have those big outside offers to entice him to go?
I'm happy he stayed. He has a great mind for wrestling. He's arguably one of the most popular people in Ring of Honor roster, let alone Ring of Honor history. And I'm happy he's staying because he does get the creative freedom to do what he think will help the company, and I'm happy to be a part of that, and I'm on board with that. And if I could see the headline on Facebook, Marty Scurll resigns the Ring of Honor head booker or whatever it is, I'll hit the like button.
Well,
if you hold it down, you get the love button, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I got to wrap up by asking you about the match that you worked tonight.
Okay.
You came into Vancouver and took on Eddie Osborne in a hoss battle for the ages. You are just a mountain of a man yourself. You know, has had multiple people in the crowd tonight say that you're just the strongest man that they have ever seen. Do you ever show up to a show for a match like that and take a look at your opposition and just wonder how you're going to lift that guy?
Tonight was one of them. I don't know if I had that stigma of like, oh, just throw him with the big guys. But you know what? I pride myself in whatever match that I get thrown into to try to have the best match possible. And just, bottom line is give the promoter their money's worth and give the fans what their money's worth. Because it's, you know, at the end of the day, they're paying for me for a service. Fans are paying out of their hard-earned pocket to come watch a wrestling show. So, you know, if they're happy, if ECCW's happy, then I'm happy. And, you know, whether they give me Eddie Osborne like tonight or tomorrow Bandido and Judas Icarus, well, it doesn't matter. Like, everybody flies the same. Gravity does not forget people. And I throw them high. Some people I throw higher than the others, and But gravity wins in the end, and they'll come crashing down.
The allure of bringing in a big name from out of town like yourself is that the local guys kind of get the rub, and the secret gets out on them through working people who kind of spread their legend around in different areas. Is Eddie Osborne a guy who, you know, is destined for big things outside of the city?
Yeah, I believe so. And if I have that quote unquote clout to do that, then so be it. But I don't think of myself as a big name. But if at the end of the day, I can bring more eyes to a product that I'm on. Case in point, if there's Jeff Cobb fans out there that haven't heard of ECCW and they found ECCW and wrestlers that they haven't seen before because of me, then so be it. And I'm happy to do that. I'm happy to put my stamp of approval on certain companies that I work for. And yeah.
All right, Jeff, man, thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure.
There he is. That's Jeff Cobb from Ring of Honor Wrestling right here on Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650. My name is Justin Morissette, and thrilled to be joined by Jeff on the show this week. Some very interesting stuff to dissect from what he talked about there as well. I mentioned earlier in the show before the interview played just how taken I was by the fact that he talked about what a big deal it is for him to have worked one of these Commodore shows for ECCW, which, like I said, I expect to hear from local guys within the Vancouver scene. I do not expect to hear from, you know, the kinds of talents who have made their name across the world, whether that's with New Japan or Lucha Underground or Ring of Honor or any number of these, you know, major companies, to look at a Commodore Ballroom like it is a big deal. You know, I tend to think that the traveling names that come in from out of town just see it as another date on the calendar on their, you know, traveling circus lifestyle as they go from city to city, weekend to weekend. But very cool to hear him talk about it in that way, that it's been a goal of his to get onto a ballroom brawl for a good long while. I caught up with Jeff on Friday night after he'd tangled with Eddie Osborne in an incredible match. He had another fantastic match on the Saturday as well, taking on two of the best local products that Vancouver has to offer in Beef Boy and Judas Icarus, against Jeff Cobb and Bandido, the two fly-ins from Ring of Honor. And that match was insane as well. A hell of a weekend for ECCW at the Commodore Ballroom. They've set up a brand new champion for the new year going forward. The belt is no longer on Artemis Spencer. It's Judas Icarus who holds the top crown in ECCW, and a very young man at that. You know, it's amazing that this company is putting the rocket on these guys at the ages that they are at, in their early 20s. Maybe it's a signal that that a guy like Artemis Spencer might not be long for our local scene. He might follow in the footsteps of an El Fantasmo and try to make his name across the world now, go out on an excursion. Of course, Artie's home will always be here in Vancouver, just like LP's is. LP was at the Commodore for both nights this past weekend as well, working the same heel character that he is currently playing for Bullet Club in New Japan right now. He was just dressing down the Vancouver crowd. Heck, I'll let you hear part of that right now.
I am the best professional wrestler to ever come out of Vancouver. And you guys don't deserve to see me wrestle twice, just like this city doesn't deserve a Stanley Cup.
There was a lot more to that promo, but it mostly descends into F-bombs from there. But kudos to El Fantasmo, who had the very difficult task of making Vancouver boo him. You know, our cherished, beloved son who has gone off into the world to make us proud over in Japan. But, you know, a little bit of sports healing never hurt anybody. You know, poke at the Canucks, and we will have no problem getting after you. Fantastic weekend for ECCW. Beef Boy gets to have the match against LP on the Saturday night earlier before that promo. Does not pick up the win, so that is still a dangling thread, something to pay off down the line. I know when I talked to El Fantasmo a couple months back right here on this very program, and in fact when I talked to Jeff Duncan, co-owner and booker of ECCW on this show last week, we talked about the fact that LP coming back is an attraction unto himself, and he's got guys on his list that he wants to cross off when he comes back to Vancouver to work against that young crop of talent that's coming up to the city right now. So he got to cross Beef Boy off of his list, but Beef Boy does not get to pick up the victory. I'm sure that will come at some point down the line, as we still have years and years and years of these kids' careers to watch. The fact that they are already battling over the top prize in ECCW, I think, really says something to their talent level and the ceiling on these kids and how far they are going to go. Of course, Beef Boy, a former guest on this show as well. You can find my chat with him on the archive. You just have to head on over to the Sportsnet 650 website. It is Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650. My name is Justin Morissette. And getting back to Jeff Cobb, who was my guest this evening, before we wrap up tonight's show, one of the things Jeff talked about was the working conditions right now within Ring of Honor, how it feels to be an employee there, and the good vibes that he gets as somebody who is with that company at the moment, especially in light of a story that broke as we took to the air last week. I did not get an opportunity to talk about on last week's show, but should dissect here before we wrap up for the night. Marty Scurll, who you may know as The Villain, a prominent member of Bullet Club back during the Elite period, a recurring character on Being the Elite. He had the Kazuchika Okada match at All In. This guy was positioned like a key member of the group that went on to found AEW. Marty Scurll's deal expired with Ring of Honor back in December, and for a month, as Marty popped up on NWA Power and seemed to be kind of teasing out his future, it felt like a done deal that this guy was either going to sign with AEW to join his friends in their upstart company, or he was going to go to NXT and go the WWE route. It really felt like those were the two options that lay ahead for Marty Scurll. He found a third way, The Villain electing to stay with Ring of Honor, re-signing on the most lucrative deal that Ring of Honor has ever handed out. They are paying Marty Scurll main roster WWE money to work roughly 40 dates a year for Ring of Honor, but not only is he being paid well, he was offered something that his friends have over in AEW as well, and that is creative control. Marty Scurll not only re-signs with Ring of Honor, but is named head booker of the company. He will split that duty with Delirious, who has been booking the company for the entirety of the last decade, essentially head booker since 2012. Marty's essentially going to be creative director for Ring of Honor. His creative ideas will be the direction of the company, and it will be up to Delirious, kind of as showrunner, to put his grand designs into practice within the production of the show. So Marty is the key creative force now behind Ring of Honor, and I think that's an exciting thing. I think it is a good sign for the company that they were not only able to keep Marty Scurll, but keep Matt Taven as well, who had carried their world championship for the better part of the last year. Look, coming into this segment, we heard audio from Jeff Cobb talking in his post-match press conference after he took on Will Ospreay at the Supercard / I guess G1 Climax show in April that New Japan put on at Madison Square Garden, a joint venture between New Japan Pro Wrestling and Ring of Honor. And, it was a great night for Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb got to have a fantastic match against Will Ospreay, one of the best wrestlers in the world, got to become a dual champion as the ROH TV champion and New Japan's never openweight champion as well. But for the company as a whole, a very up and down evening. That is a night where I think Ring of Honor lost a lot of people, including people within New Japan Pro Wrestling, who might have had some question marks about whether or not the working relationship between these two companies could continue. That was the night that you might remember Enzo and Cass, formerly of WWE, were involved in an angle where talent involved in their angle were not told about it ahead of time. You had wrestlers out in the ring area who were not sure if what was happening was a work or a shoot, as Enzo and Cass come out of the audience and attack. I can't remember exactly who they got involved with, a Ring of Honor tag team, possibly the Briscoes, but you had the Guerrillas of Destiny from New Japan in that situation, not knowing if what was happening was real or fake, and that's not the greatest situation to put those guys into, because I'm sure there is an alternate reality where the guys in G.O.D., Tama Tonga and Tongaloa just attack Enzo and Cass for real with real punches. It could have been a very ugly incident. It was a bit of a stain on the company, even though nothing drastic came from it fallout-wise. And it was a rough night for the company as well, because that seemed like the time to coronate Marty Scurll. Villain Enterprises had all kinds of momentum behind it, and instead it is Matt Taven who leaves the night as Ring of Honor champion, a guy who's been at the top of the card for ROH for the last year, but who hasn't really resonated with fans in a significant way, I don't feel personally. There's other guys in Ring of Honor that I would much rather see in top positions. Jeff Cobb, chief among them. I think Brody King is a hell of a talent as well. Brody, obviously, also involved in Villain Enterprises. It felt like Villain Enterprises was something that had momentum, and if they had coronated at that Madison Square Garden show on WrestleMania weekend in New York City, it would have been a big, big moment. Instead, we came out of that weekend just talking about how Ring of Honor is embarrassing New Japan, basically. They are the kid brother that is screwing things up for them. It certainly seems like things have shifted in the last little while. And if Marty Scurll is going to be the head booker and a new creative direction for this company, who's been run by basically the same guy in Delirious for as head booker for the last 8 years, as part of the booking committee for the last 10, they need a new direction to find relevance again. They have seemingly been passed in the power rankings by Impact, really, which is not something that I was expecting to say at the beginning of last year. This is a new direction for Ring of Honor, and it's nice that, it would have felt like the end of this company, basically, if Marty Scurll and Matt Taven had both up and left when their deals expired in December, because those are the two guys that Ring of Honor spent all year building up as its top draws. If you can't keep those guys, then what are you doing? And especially in a landscape where AEW is sucking up just as much of the up-and-coming indie talent as Ring of Honor used to. So a good sign for that company, and glad to hear that Jeff Cobb, feels like the future is in good hands over there. I want Ring of Honor to be healthy, and I want Ring of Honor to succeed, because I want a healthy wrestling landscape that challenges each other right across the board. So good to hear that things are going well there, and that, as he said, he'd hit like, he'd hit love if he saw the news on Facebook that Marty Scurll is deciding to stay, and that is exactly what Marty Scurll is deciding to do in ROH. That'll do it for us here on the program this week. We got you all caught up in a very busy week in the world of pro wrestling. I find these weeks are always so busy. We are, of course, heading into the Royal Rumble next Sunday. We'll break that one down for you on the show right here next week. Do want to thank my guest this evening, Jeff Cobb of ROH, for joining me tonight. And I want to thank the fine folks at ECCW for helping that happen as well. And want to thank you for spending your evening listening to me talk about pro wrestling with Jeff Cobb and breaking down all of the news that went down this week. We'll be back at it to do it all again, of course, next week. Until then, I have been and will continue to be Justin Morissette, and you've been locked in on Vancouver's home of professional wrestling on the radio. It's Wrestle Central on Sportsnet 650.